Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Fine Food Friday, June 3rd. I'm Ray Graff. It's the Flower Hour today. You know, we had an ambassador of the solar system on the show yesterday. Today we have the ambassador of flower herself, author and baker, Amy Halloran, is in the studio today to answer your questions about all things grain, from breads to gluten-free baking to pancakes and English muffins. I think English muffins may be her latest obsession. We will find out. If you have a call for the ambassador of flower, this is the time. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Amy Halloran is here, boys and girls. It's Vox Pop Food Friday. We kick it off after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call and talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Grain has been a staple of the human diet for more or less billions of, not billions of years, but since the dawn of our history, and the ways we incorporate it today into our meals is vast and diverse. We have a guest in the studio today who not only is an expert on grain, but also who reportedly makes the best pancakes in six counties. Now, I don't get out much. I can't vouch for the six counties, but I can tell you her pancakes are really good. Amy Halloran is here. She is the ambassador of flour. Amy's a Troy native and author of the newly released book, The New Breadbasket, How the New Crop of Grain Growers, Plant Breeders, Millers, Maltsters, Bakers, Brewers, and Local Food Activists Are Redefining Our Daily Loaf. It's a long title, Amy. I'm not sure you'll make it in paperback with that one. She helped start the popular Troy Farmers Market, currently runs the Community Meals Program at Unity House, and teaches food justice at Russell Sage College. If you have a question about grain, Amy is the one to answer that question. She is always full of energy. Give us a call now, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. Amy Halloran, I got to tell you, you look relaxed today.
I feel very relaxed.
You just look very mellow.
Yeah, I'm not a usually mellow person.
You got that right.
But I had a massage today, and I'm kind of under...
Wow, that's
in a nice way.
That's so good. I mean, because usually you'll raise the roof on the joint.
Well, I still will. Get me talking about flour.
Well, that's exactly what we'll talk about today. What, by the way, what is new?
What is new is I got to go to OSU, which is Oregon State University, where they study barley a lot for malting barley.
Yeah.
And they invited me out for their barley day so I could make pancakes for 100 hungry brewers, maltsters, farmers.
Cool.
It was great. I got to make pancakes in a greenhouse. I've never made pancakes in a greenhouse before. I was thrilled.
Does it change the cooking time?
No, that's always electricity.
Okay. Yeah. No, but I mean the overall temperature and humidity and everything?
It was kind of, there was nothing going on that way. Yeah.
So this was fun for you. And how'd the pancakes go over?
People loved them. I was a little nervous because it wasn't my truly devoted farmer ground flour that I know like I know my dreams.
Right.
It was barley flour from a mill that I really admire in Oregon. And I still made it work.
You did.
I was so relieved.
Were you nervous going in?
Oh, boy, was I
really
nervous. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Were the guys drinking beer and eating pancakes?
Not at 8:30 in the morning.
Really? Then they weren't broadcasters.
By 12:30, they were drinking.
Mm-hmm. Good. Amy Halloran is our guest. We talk flour every once in a while with the ambassador of flour. You know, yesterday on the show, Bob Berman brought a friend of his who was the ambassador of the solar system for NASA. So this is two straight days where we have an ambassador on the show.
That's because we're in the capital city.
You know, it's kind of like the UN on this program now. I feel like we're really moving up. Our number is 800-348-2551. Amy Halloran is our guest. It's a long title on the book.
It's a very long title, but it explains everything that's going on. Lots of profiles of people doing great work in grains.
And I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think during the time of the fund drive, which begins on Monday, one of those days, Jess and I, in our pitching time between 12:30 and 2, will be giving some of those away.
I hope so.
Yeah, the number to call here is 800-348-2551 if you want to talk to Amy Halloran. And let's go to Shelby in Saratoga Springs. Shelby.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hi. I have a question about sourdough. Okay. I was feeding my sourdough this morning, you know, first thing this morning, getting ready to bake bread today, and I didn't discard before I fed it. Now it smells kind of wonky. What do I do?
You see, I'm a funny person about sourdough because I'm just getting my feet wet in that realm. So to ask me for rules and understanding is a little tough. I'm also not a great rule follower, and I can never bear to throw away that discard either. So honestly, that's the way I end up feeding an awful lot. So I would just say, you know, the next time you feed it, or right now, discard half of it, take that stuff, make something else with it, save it in your fridge to make crackers, make some flatbreads for tonight, too. You know, just use that. Go back. If you feel like it's really going off the rails, what you could do is just take a teaspoon of your starter and do and feed that fresh so that you have, you know, you still have all the cultures that you want in that teaspoon, but you won't have as much misbehavior going on.
All right.
Thanks.
Well, thank you.
Thanks,
you're welcome.
Shelby. So you're kind of just starting out with the sourdough?
Yeah, for the longest time, I didn't do any sourdough because as I was researching the book, I got this idea that the sourdough was part of a profession. And that's because I tied in sourdough with hearth baking, the tradition of the community baker, the village baker, and I wanted to have allegiance to that.
Mm-hmm.
And also I have a very short attention span, and I thought I couldn't pay attention to a sourdough. And a griddle seemed more where I could, you know, pancakes, you stare at it, you flip.
You have a gift with the griddle.
I really like the griddle.
But so the sourdough then requires a lot of attention?
It does and it doesn't. You see, because the other day, so I'm on all these Facebook groups, and one of them is Perfect Sourdough. And so one day I'm going along, as you do, doing miles on Facebook, and I see on the highway a picture of a griddle. So I stop because I adore griddles, and there are these English muffins lined up. And I thought, on a griddle, sourdough English muffins? I followed the recipe, and I've been playing with it obsessively for about 3 months. I don't know.
So English muffins are your new obsession?
Oh, yeah. I feel a little disloyal to the pancakes.
Well, you brought a couple. They look really, really good.
When are you going to try it, right?
I'm going to try it. I'll try it during the break in a couple of minutes.
Good, yeah.
I try not to chew and talk at the same time, although usually I do on the show. Anyway, so what inspired the English muffin craze? By the way, you're ramping up a bit.
We're talking about flour.
You're very relaxed post-massage, and now you're ramping up to good old Amy. All right, let's go to line two, 800-348-2551. Bob and Danbury. Bob, you're on.
Good afternoon. Hi, Amy. I'm always curious. I'm not a cook. I'm always curious when cooking bread or making cookies or baking a pie. You know, you have vegetable oil, you have lard, you have butter. What's appropriate for each of the uses?
Oh, well, there's a lot of different schools, and you're right that it is kind of legislated by each use. So butter, a lot of people favor butter in everything, but some people say for a quick bread might go to a vegetable oil. Like we have some banana bread here we made with pancake mix. And I went both routes with that. Last night I was thinking, should I go all butter or should I go half butter, half oil? And I went half butter, half oil just because I did. No real reason. I'm not a loyalist. I don't have, except about the way you make pancakes, I have some strict rules there. Butter is great for pie crusts. Some say that you need to have butter plus a hydrogenated, you know, like a Crisco. Some say that you should mix it with lard. Some say you should mix it with tallow. I mean, there's really a lot of ways you can play with it. I tend to prefer butter because I can picture the process of it better than I can picture how oils are made.
Huh.
Okay. I have a question. Another quite quick question is, you know, I go to a local diner and they have these beautiful pastries and cookies, and huge cookies. You know, I'll buy one and I'll eat it. It's very flaky. But, you know, 10 minutes later, I have this terrible aftertaste like I just ate, you know, motor oil in my mouth. Is that the taste you get from lard?
I don't have the chart that says which fat tastes like like motor oil.
Don't be a smart aleck.
I really am stumped. I would guess that it's the fat, but I couldn't say whether it's lard. And I doubt it's lard because most places are not using lard.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Hey, Bob,
thanks
a lot for the call. Always good to hear from lovely Danbury, Connecticut. While Bob was on the line, I tried the English muffin. Fabulous.
It had a good look on his face, just for your listening information.
Very, made me happy, and the butter is delicious,
too. The butter is Kerrygold butter. The flours underneath that butter are farmer ground flour, high extraction bread flour, and some barley flour from Camas Country Mill in Oregon.
So this is your new thing, and you're doing quite well with it.
I'm having fun. You know, if you get engaged with anything, I think that's going to work.
Do the kids at home just say, oh, God, Mom is now on to English muffins. Just watch out.
Felix said, we haven't had pancakes in a while because...
Oh, you're denying your children pancakes because of the English muffins? Here you go, Jess, our producer here. That one's for you.
Sometimes I make both, you know, because I have such a strong compulsion to make the English muffin. And then I don't want to deny the pancake because it's not really the kids I'm denying or not denying. It's the pancake that I'm denying.
Do you name your pancakes?
No, it's just about giving something an expression, you know?
Well, you know, maybe you could, I'm just thinking here, thinking off the cuff before the break, maybe a little English muffin pancake sandwich, a little jelly in the middle.
Starch on starch?
Starch on starch, baby. It's Vox Pop Food Friday. Amy Halloran is here. We'll take a break and then get back to the phones. 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts. A food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, offering full-service catering at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout western Massachusetts, blueherondining.com/catering. The Black Sheep Downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butter-scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee, blacksheepdeli.com. Bread and Butter, newly opened restaurant in North Amherst Mill District, offering breakfast and lunch daily from traditional staples to chef specialties such as duck confit half and maple sriracha pork belly, breadandbutteramherst.com. And Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com.
Say, kids, you know what time it is? Why, it's almost fun drive time. Monday morning, 6 a.m., Alan Chartok will be there with you on the radio, and it's our $1 million fun drive. Now, ordinarily, a $1 million fun drive, that'll take a while. And it still will take a while, but it'll be less of a while thanks to the lockbox at WAMC.org. And as of 2:15, we are up to $368,407.07 in the lockbox, Amy. Don't know where the...
Amazing.
Was it you who put the 7 cents in?
I only ever have 7 cents to spend.
But you got pancakes. So $368,407.07 right now in the lockbox. Our goal is to hit 400 grand before we start the drive on Monday morning at 6 a.m. You can make your secure online pledge at WAMC.org. And you can find out about our premiums. And, you know, with the new $100 premium, we have a brand new premium here. And I want to show you, Amy. I've been showing the guests this week. This is a twofer for a $100 pledge. You get this new black WAMC t-shirt, and on the front it has our logo with the microphone.
I love that logo, the microphone and the sun rays.
Okay.
Sun Ra microphone.
Sun Ra. And so you're thinking sun rays. I take the negative. I thought it was radiation, but I think, okay. And the back says vote WAMC.
Awesome.
And we have a matching coffee mug that says the same thing, all for a $100 pledge. You do not have to give $100, people. Anything you can give to help keep this radio station alive, that's what it's about, WAMC.org. So, Amy, you are, okay, you're an ambassador. You go, they fly you to Oregon to make pancakes, and now you're a keynote speaker. What's next?
What's next? So I am a humble source of enthusiastic answers for flour, and you can get a lot more of your flour questions answered up in Maine. One of the places I wrote about is Skowhegan, Maine. The Kneading Conference is held there. This is the 10th annual Kneading Conference.
Kneading Conference.
Yes, K-N-E-A.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and so it's a really great little town, and they have a two-day conference every summer, all focused on ovens and bread and baking.
Wow.
And regional grain, reviving a regional grain economy. So I am so thrilled to be their keynote speaker, trying to get people revved up the way I can about flour. And I really want to encourage you, if you love baking, this is the way to meet your tribe.
Well, how can you find out about this?
So you go to the Kneading Conference, KNEADING.com.
Okay. And find out more, and you'll be there. Now, where is that in Maine?
Skowhegan, Maine. Geography is, if it were on a griddle, I would know, but
okay.
I have no idea.
So it's either southern or northern or eastern or western Maine.
It's a bit above Portland.
Okay, so that's
hour and a half, but it's not anywhere near Canada, I'll tell you that.
All right, so very good. So when is that?
Just about the last weekend in July.
Well,
so the
darn.
Thursday, Friday is when the conference is. Saturday, if you're just vacationing in Maine, make your way down to the Artisan Bread Fair, and there's all kinds of stuff.
Well, that's great. Well, good luck with that, Madam Ambassador. Let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Susan in Woodstock. Susan.
Hi. I have a question about a flour that I've been recently introduced to called einkorn, E-I-N-K-O-R-N. And it says that it's nature's original wheat, and it's the only wheat never hybridized. And my question is that my friend who recommended it to me said people who are not gluten tolerant can, even though this is wheat, are able to digest this wheat or not allergic to it. Do you have any opinion?
Okay, so once you get into the issues of wheat sensitivity, the language and ideas are really all over the place. So einkorn does mean the first wheat. It was one of the first wheats that we began to domesticate in the Fertile Crescent 10 to 12,000 years ago. But whether that means that it is actually good for someone who can't tolerate other wheats, that's to be debated by the body. The individual body will tell the story on whether that's going to work.
Now, someone said to me that this is a product of Italy, that the Italian products are GMO free, and that makes it that also breads that are and pastas are more easily digestible because of that.
Okay, so a few things. We don't have GMO wheat in America either. There is no GMO wheat on the market.
But it contains Roundup is what I'm told.
Well, okay, so Roundup, some say, is used as a desiccant in the harvest of wheat. But that's not standard practice. And if you go organic American, you're going without Roundup. So
okay.
There's a lot, and there's actually einkorn getting grown in the Northeast, and milled. So there's lots of things to look at. True celiacs should avoid all wheats because your body's not going to take it.
Susan, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it very much. And over to, it's either Dina or Dinah in Ghent. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, is it Dina or Dinah?
It's Gina.
Oh, it's Gina. Oh, well, that wasn't even on the table. All right. Well, welcome to the show, Gina.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that years ago when my daughter was little and couldn't eat wheat, I tried making a cake for her birthday with barley flour, and I did it one for one. I didn't change anything except that it was barley and not wheat, and it came out so nice that I didn't think I'd ever make a wheat cake again. It was almost reminded me of angel food cake.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So do you still use it?
I can't find organic barley flour anymore, but I don't bake that much anyway. But for her, I had to do that because she couldn't have the wheat. Mm-hmm. And it was really nice.
And it has.
So I recommend it. Even if you can handle wheat, I recommend you try the barley flour.
Well, that's what's so great about all of these off-grid grains, is how I think of it. You know, if you stop buying just straight up regular flour, there are so many alternatives in taste and potential of what's going to happen.
Yeah, and that was a big surprise that it was so worked out so well.
That's great. There is organic barley flour coming out of Oregon. I'm walking around what I know because I'm not universal in my knowledge.
Really?
Not.
Didn't know that.
Just obsessive. But if you ever get curious, Camas Country Mill does have organic barley.
Well, I would have to find somebody selling it too.
Everybody does it on the internet now. All the mills, okay. All the mill kids have a little website.
The mill kids on that interweb. Gina, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend. 800-348-2551. Had some more of the English muffin. It's really good work. Really good.
I love them.
So, all right. Walk us through the process.
Okay. So you take some sourdough starter. So this starts at night.
Okay. After you've had a couple of pops, right?
Yeah. After I've had a couple of English muffins and there's no more left, have some more. After a couple of after-dinner English muffins.
Okay.
And so you take half a cup of sourdough starter and then mix it with a cup of milk and then a couple of cups of flour. Ish. This is all ish.
You do this all by force. Yeah.
Let the flour be with you.
Exactly.
And then you mix it together and you let that sit overnight. And then when you can't stand to sleep anymore, because this is the way it goes, Ray, I wake up ready to make the English. Sometimes.
Okay, I believe this.
If I need to sleep, I won't start any English muffins because then I might sleep in. I might not feel like I got to get up and make the English muffins. You know, like the guy with the time to make the donuts, he was never peppy like me. He was never like leaping out of bed to make the English muffins, but that's me.
So you're like type AAA.
Only about flour.
Wow.
Only.
The unbelievable Amy Halloran is here. 800-348-2551 is our number. Greg in Altamont. Greg.
Howdy. Thanks. Just wanted to relate a little thing about using sourdough cultures, and I've been baking for a sourdough baker for over 20 years, and my baking got considerably better when I started using teff flour as the primary ingredient in my starter.
Really? That's so intriguing.
What kind of flour?
So teff is a I'm looking around as if anybody else in the room has the answer.
Don't look at me.
I was going to say it's a pseudo cereal, but I don't think it is. I think it is an actual cereal grain.
Yeah, and the grain itself is tiny. It looks like poppy seeds,
exactly, and it's dark. And so for 20 years, where have you been getting your teff? Are you grinding your own?
Well, I need to clarify because I didn't originally use teff as part of it.
Uh-huh.
But I buy it in various places, usually in a co-op or health food store.
Mm-hmm.
And I buy organic teff. I usually mix it with about 40% of something else, which may be whole wheat and it may be spelt, and I usually throw a little rye in there too.
This sounds great. I want to leave the studio right now and go try it.
Stick around for 28 more minutes, all right?
Yeah,
please.
It's worth a try, and my basic recipe, and I'm like you, Amy, I do not measure very much. It's ish.
Uh-huh.
I do the ish thing, and I appreciate that kind of sentiment. And I usually make a pain de campagna type bread.
Uh-huh.
That's about 25% to 30% whole grain, and all of my friends say that my bread is the best. So people should be encouraged to use teff as a sourdough starter.
Okay, well maybe Ray and I need to find out if that sourdough is the best.
What do you want him to bring it over here now?
I want him to bring it over here.
But he's in Altamont. He'll never make it by the end of the show.
We can arrange that.
Maybe next time, Greg. Thank you.
That's great.
Thanks a lot.
Have a good weekend. So you wrote that down? You want to write it down?
No, I have a, you know, what do you call that? A
Phonographic
memory for flour information.
Okay.
So.
All right, fair enough. So
we're good.
You're going to use the keff?
Teff.
Keff is some sort of chemical, right?
No, keff is a character from some really bad cartoon.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
That's Kiff.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Amy Halloran is our guest, 800-348-2551. If you were just tuning in, she started out very mellow. She had had a massage, and she is ramped up to full speed now on the program. Tom in New Scotland. Tom.
Hi. I'd like to tell you that I love buckwheat pancakes, but I can't find them around too much. Oh. They're not very popular. I realized I didn't know what buckwheat is.
That's...
What is it? Is it used for anything else other than pancakes?
This is great, and it's a terrific follow-up to my dropping that bomb of a word, pseudo-cereal, because...
Oh.
Buckwheat is a pseudo-cereal, and pseudo-cereals are grains that we treat as flour, but they're not true grains. That is, they are not the seeds of grasses, not the edible seeds of certain grass plants. So wheat, barley, rye, even they are all true cereals. And then buckwheat is a pseudo-cereal that's a relative of the rhubarb family.
Really?
Yeah. And it's grown actually over in parts of New York State near Ithaca, used to be the buckwheat capital of the universe. There's still a huge buckwheat mill in Penyan called Burkitt's. It's, I think, the largest buckwheat mill in the United States. It has a very funny shape. There's also an area of Canada where they grow a yellow tartary buckwheat, which has a different shape and different flavor. And Ray gets to take some of that home today because I brought him some mix from that, these Acadian pancakes.
Nice.
Yeah, but so buckwheat flour, you can get it sifted, and then it'll be kind of white or... whitish, or you can get it unsifted when it has the hulls on it, and that'll be kind of dark blue. And you can get the New Hope Mills, I imagine, makes a buckwheat pancake mix. You can go to Honest Weight Co-op and get the flours to make your own buckwheat mix. I make a buckwheat rye mix.
Do you prefer sifted or unsifted?
I need all the...
You need it all.
I need it all. I don't like sifted flour.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's an understatement.
All right, Tom, you want to follow up here with Amy?
No, you've answered all my questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend. 800-348-2551. One thing I like about having you on the show is the caller will have a very simple question, and you'll have an encyclopedic answer. It's pretty impressive. All right, let's go and see if you can keep it up here. And over to line four, and Mike in Waterville. Mike, you're on with Amy Halloran.
Yes, how you doing? Hear me?
Sure.
Hi.
Yes, hi. I have a quick question for you. I buy pizza dough in a supermarket.
Uh-huh.
And most of the time, it's like a big rubber band. I can't get it to spread out. Every once in a while, it works fine. What is the secret to spreading out pizza dough? I've asked 100 people, and nobody can seem to tell me.
Do you leave it out to warm up before you try to stretch it out?
Yes, and I usually let it rise and punch it down and let it rise again.
Hmm. I got no intelligence for you.
Really?
I don't have the experience.
You don't do pizza dough?
Oh.
I do pizza dough, but I just make it at home. It's been years since I've gotten the supermarket stuff, and I don't really know what's not going on or what is or what isn't.
Can I ask you one more question?
Yeah.
Sure.
If I put it in the freezer, does it kill the yeast?
You can freeze pizza dough.
But
I don't...
Will the yeast be active when I unfreeze it?
I'm not positive. I'm not positive. I would... If you want to freeze it, generally people will bake off the pizza dough into a round first before freezing.
No, that's not a bad idea.
I'll take it out, and sometimes it'll rise, and sometimes it just sits there. So, I'll have to get a pizza guy.
Yeah, I back 100 years ago when I was very young, I worked
in the old days.
Yeah, I worked in a pizza joint, and I seem to recall the dough being in big freezers, walk-in freezers.
No, it's a walk-in cooler, right?
A walk-in cooler.
They have it on trays
under
plastic.
That's it.
The little balls, those little magical dough balls. It wasn't frozen.
All right, I was like 12 years old. I can't remember. Hey, Mike, thanks a lot for the call.
Hey, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Amy Halloran, so when you make your pizza dough, walk us through that. I love a homemade pizza.
So I usually use a pita dough recipe from one of my favorite cookbooks, Baking with Julia.
Oh, that's a classic.
Baking with Julia is great. She did all these series with younger chefs as she was growing older and just, said, here, go. And so this pita dough recipe is from a Naomi Dugweed, and I really like it. So it's like yogurt and, oh, Ray, I'm not going to get exact.
That's
but
okay.
You just Google my name and pizza dough, and I have a recipe somewhere.
So are you a thin crust or a thick crust person?
However it comes out.
Really?
So I'm a random crust
so
person.
So basically this gets back to you, I put a little of this-ish and a little of that-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, isn't there something to be said for once in a while standardizing a recipe?
I do, because I have to occasionally put these recipes. People have been asking me to put this English muffin recipe online.
And you should.
And I should, but I won't, because I can't sit, you know, and try to do things the same way 2 days in a row.
So maybe after a year or two of making these, you'll have it down where you will actually, you'll know exactly.
Maybe.
Well, this one came out very well. Our number here is 800-348-2551. We'll take a brief break, and we'll get back to your calls with Amy Halloran. Here it is, a Food Friday on Vox Pop.
Good
show. Support for WAMC comes from Terrapin Restaurant Bistro Bar, Rhinebeck, New York. Offering dog-friendly outdoor patio dining in the heart of Rhinebeck Village, lunch, dinner, and late night, terrapinrestaurant.com. The Hall at Panther Creek Arts, presenting the second annual Tiny Arts Day in a Tiny Town, this Saturday, June 4th. Local foods, storytelling, arts, music, panthercreekarts.com. Hudson Farmers Market, 6th and Columbia Street, Hudson, providing products and seasonal produce from more than 30 growers and producers, Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., through November, Hudson Farmer Market, NY.com. Big Y, family-owned and operated with Big Y Express stations in Lee and Pittsfield, celebrating 80 years of serving communities throughout New England, BigY.com. And Claire Pearson, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, for 14 years, offering plant spirit medicine and energy clearing for health, body, mind, and spirit, CLAREPearson.net.
Vox Pop. Ray Graff here. Food Friday, don't you know? And Amy Halloran is our guest. She brought her own English muffins. You know, I like peanut butter on a nice toasted English muffin.
I do that a lot also because you got to get some protein in the body. Sometimes.
And that's a really good. That's a, you know, if you're going to go out in the snow for the day, you have some of that.
You're just going to wake up in the morning and you have to face the big bad world and it's snowstorms.
What time do you wake up? Like 3 a.m., I'm guessing?
So I try to sleep a little longer. I try to go till 5.
You know,
today I made it till 6.
Really?
Yeah.
I overslept. I get up around 5, and I slept. I overslept till about 5:35 today. It was a rough stretch getting into work. But I'm not as perky as you in general.
I burn a little higher than.
I don't think anyone's really as perky as you in general. Let's go over to Ron in Esopus. Ron, you're on.
Hey guys.
Hi.
So I used to eat a lot of this cake my wife used to make called wacky cake.
Oh.
And, do you know that?
Do you mean mix in the same pan chocolate cake?
Yeah.
Or war surplus cake? Yeah.
Yeah, killer cake.
Yeah. That's my father used to get such big chunks of it after post-World War II as he was growing up in Cahos that they said, what is it, Halloran?
Hello?
War surplus cake? So in our family, that's the war surplus cake.
So what is it?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear us?
Oh, now I got you.
Okay, so what is it?
War surplus cake is, it's really, it uses the whole baking soda and vinegar explosion as your leavener. So it's just baking soda, vinegar, oil, sugar, cocoa, salt, and flour. And it's
you know, when I was a kid, I was hooked on Yankee Doodles.
Yeah.
This to me with a cream cheese icing. Is like a big pan of Yankee Doodles.
It's the best cake ever. Really?
Neat.
It is the best cake ever. However, my cardiologist said I probably shouldn't eat it because you got to use melted Crisco.
Oh, no, no, no. You can use, okay, so I've played with this because I like that cake so much that it's.
This is my question. What can I use instead? Yep. So I want to eat more of it.
Okay. Ah. So you can do that trick that got developed in the total anti-fat realm of the 90s or whenever that was, which is to substitute some or all applesauce. That's going to change your flavor a little bit. You can also, I played with olive oil. Just use olive oil, and that works fine.
Doesn't that change the taste?
Not that much, because the chocolate has a pretty loud flavor.
Yeah.
The same quantity of oil that it calls for?
Yeah, yeah. Just use, I've never heard of it as having melted Crisco. So you probably have a really, like a family recipe or something like that?
Yes.
So look it up online. The ratio that I, as I recall, has a third of a cup oil to 1.5 cups flour. And you should just go for olive oil on that.
Interesting.
Okay. Great. Yeah. Thanks.
Have fun.
Is that of a similar family tree with the mayonnaise chocolate cake that my grandmother used to make?
Probably. But that the mayonnaise, I think, has more... I can't remember, Ray.
That's good stuff.
We had that was the chocolate cake in our house. I still make it for my dad's
birthday.
Really? Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Maybe next time you're on, you bring a little slice?
Okay.
All right, fair enough. Joan in Valencia. Joan, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
I have the problem of being allergic to wheat, period.
Uh-huh.
I would like to make pancakes from scratch.
Okay. I can help you out. I would take, can you have cornmeal?
Yes.
Can you have buckwheat?
I don't have, I do have buckwheat.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just go half and half on cornmeal and buckwheat and use the formula in the back of my book or online. Just Google my name and pancakes and you'll find a lot of different recipes. And use half and half buckwheat flour and cornmeal and you'll make a nice cake.
Okay, Joan?
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Have fun.
Joan, thank you, Joan. Over to Michael in Albany. Michael, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I also can't have wheat and have been celiac since I was a baby. I'm wondering about when you're using different kind of flours, like do you have any experience with like cassava flour or pumpkin flour and like using almond flours? Still get a nice fluffy like banana bread or zucchini bread. It always comes out dense and too moist.
Okay, so believe it or not, as manic as I am for flour, I had a time when I wasn't eating wheat.
What?
Yes.
Heresy.
I know. But there was no way I could not go without pancakes, So I came up with a recipe. Can you have soy?
I don't eat soy or corn.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure it was the fat in the soy that worked. The recipe that I made for myself was 2 or 3 tablespoons of soy flour and then fill up the cup with brown rice flour, and then I used that. So I'm trying to... I suggest you play with brown rice flour and then something that is very dense and fat, like an almond... meal or almond flour to get that fat in there and see if you can replicate what you want. And you can get in touch with me by email and I'd love to hear how it goes.
What is your email address?
It's my last name, Halloran, and the number 15 at Gmail.
Okay, Halloran 15 at Gmail. All right, Michael.
Halloran15@gmail.com.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Have a good weekend. Amy Halloran is our guest. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. So you had this period in your life, this dark time when you said no.
I call it the no food. I was not eating a lot of things.
Really?
Yeah.
And so now, when did that change? How did that change?
It slowly changed. Like 1 to 3 years in my late 20s, early 30s, and then I had the fear of wheat
really?
For a long time.
How can you be scared of it?
Well, because it was, I was afraid. I got these I got eczema.
Ah.
Always had eczema, and when I was 28, it got terrible, and it got so bad I just stopped eating, kind of.
Right. Did it go away?
It made it go away. I was never sure what, so I was a little intimidated about what, you know, like, was it the nuts? Was it the chocolate? Was it the coffee? But gradually I added a lot of stuff back in, and now I'm just no sugar, no alcohol.
And you figured it out.
It's okay right now.
All right. Your skin looks fairly smooth, and you're doing all right. Let's go over to Tim in Adams, Mass. Tim.
Hey, Ray. How you doing?
Hey, good.
Yes, and the buckwheat flour, it was a very much used commodity way back in our earlier colonial history, and one of the things is it's very slowly digested by your body, and it provides you with a long, even blood sugar level, and that's why people use it so much years ago. They were doing such hard work in establishing our country. It was very popular back then.
How about that?
That's great.
This is Jim, right?
Tim.
Yes, it is.
It says Tim on the sheet, but I recognize Jim, yeah.
Ah. Hey.
Yeah, but I like to make sourdough buckwheat pancakes, and I use just only buckwheat flour in it.
That's great.
I stopped using wheat maybe about 10 years or more ago.
Oh, wow.
I noticed some improvements in my health. I'm not a celiac, but I noticed some improvements in my health anyways.
Hey, good job, Jim. Hey, thanks for calling.
Alrighty.
Yeah, thanks for that fact.
Thanks. Have a good weekend, buddy. Over to Don in Clinton Corners. Don, you're on with Amy Halloran.
Well, hello.
Hi, Don. I think I know what Don this is.
Yes. Well, first of all, I wanted to thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And I wanted to congratulate you on that great book that you published recently. And also, I wanted to talk about freshness. I see all this enthusiasm. A lot of people out there are baking, and that's an awesome thing. And so I wanted to acknowledge that. But I wanted to relay what I have found about baking for yourself or even baking for others is how important it is for really fresh flour. And you may have covered that in the beginning of the show because I wasn't able to get on to the radio and hear it early. But fresh flour really makes such a difference, and not only in the flavor of the product that you're making, but in your health and a lot of the problems I think that people have with gluten intolerance and wheat intolerance and corn intolerance is because of the freshness. And it's something that I always want to recommend that people should search out for, not only locally grown or regionally grown grains, but freshly milled is really one of the most important things. And I wanted to share that.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Don, because Don is the person who introduced me to fresh flour. Don is Don Lewis of Wild Hive Mill.
Ah.
And Don, my husband brought me a cookie that he picked up. Don had a bakery along the Taconic, and my husband's a tree guy, and he went hanging lights in Connecticut, and he came home with a cookie. And I thought, you are in Connecticut, and I get a cookie, I was not happy. But then I bit into this oatmeal chocolate cookie bar that Don had made.
Yeah.
And it was phenomenal because that freshness jumped right out at me. Right, Don? The freshness of the wheat and the oats, and this is your cookie is what sent me on this grains hallelujah.
So it's your fault, Don.
Yeah, it happens.
It's great flour. And, you know, locally to... I mean, you can get Wild Hive in lots of different places, but nearest to the radio station, Chatham Co-op, I'm pretty sure, is the one that stocks your flowers.
Okay. Hey, Don, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So how long before this flour that I see before me would go stale?
You'd say probably you'd want to use it within 3 months of milling.
And you would keep it in an airtight can?
I keep them in 5-gallon buckets in my kitchen because I'm going through this stuff
covered,
so fast.
Though, right?
Covered, yeah. But, you know, a lot of people will put stuff in the freezer if they don't bake too regularly.
You can freeze flour?
You can freeze flour. You might want to bring it back up to room temp before you use it because, you know, the coldness will change things.
Okay, so 3 months is a standard sort of benchmark.
Six? Really, I mean, three is what they say. Six is what I say.
Okay, fair enough. But it really probably is 1 month in your house.
Yeah, and it's all about the oils in the bran and the germ, because there's volatile oils that give a lot of flavor and freshness, and those are going to start to degrade.
Okay.
Yeah.
The guest that you may or may not have been able to identify is Amy Halloran, who is, as you know, the ambassador of flour. And let's go over to Tara in Delmar. Tara, you're on.
Hi. So I have an intolerance of digesting folic acid.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously wheat flour has been fortified with folic acid commercially, but I just heard the previous caller and you're talking about all the fresh milled flours. Is it by law, are these fresh milled flours required to add folic acid, or is this just the commercial?
I don't. That's a great question. I don't know what the defining line is, but I'm 99,000% sure that these mills are not adding folic acid or, you know, iron enriched. I don't know, but because I've seen, you know, I've seen the flour go in the bags, and I've seen the grain go in the mills, and I know that they, you know, at Don's Mill and over at Farmer Ground Flour and up at Maine Grains, the Somerset Grist Mill, nobody's putting any of that stuff in. So if you're going for fresh stone ground organic flour, you shouldn't have any trouble.
Awesome. Because before that caller, I was going to say, do you know a great, because I can do gluten-free baking with my rice flour and my tapioca and blah, blah, but obviously using wheat flour, I'm going to get the best pancake, you know?
Yeah.
So is there another flour? So let's just say wheat flour commercially fortified with folic acid. Do you know what's sort of like the second best? Is it combining all these alternative flours, or is there another one that you go to when you can't use a wheat flour?
But wait a second. I don't think I understand the question.
Another flour. Okay, go ahead. Try it again.
What sort of, if you can't use the wheat flour, is there sort of a second flour, regardless of the gluten issue? Is there a second flour you go to? Because to my understanding, commercially, wheat is the only one that's fortified
with folic acid.
Oh, well, I really like the flavor of a lot of different grains, you know, so I made these barley pancakes and they were pretty great. I made some, there's a lot of different wheat varietals that are coming out of small mills. Like I made a charcoal wheat from a mill in California called Grist and Toll. Charcoal wheat, that was incredible pancakes.
Really?
Yeah, so just play. Because a pancake doesn't need to rise high off the griddle and you can have a super amount of fun with it.
All right.
Okay, awesome. Well, I'll look into these local milk. That's cool. A great idea. Thank you very much.
Very You're cool. Welcome.
Tara, thanks a lot. 800-348-2551 for Amy Halloran. Ron in Schenectady. Ron.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I lost my train of thought now.
Happens to me all the time.
I came in on the conversation when you were discussing sourdough breads and all, and it reminded me of when I was in high school, which was a little back there. I was in late 60s. I used to work at my local bakery, primarily as a stock boy, but they had other tasks for me to do to get them ready for the next morning. One of my tasks was to get the mixer that was produced only sourdough rye ready for the next morning. So I would scoop in so much flour, which was a special blend of flour just for sourdough rye, and then I'd pour in so much water. And I got to thinking one time, I mean, it just sat there for maybe 12 hours before the bakers in the morning came in and got us started. Didn't bad stuff grow in that too, in addition to the whatever the good stuff was that made the bread taste the way it did?
Well,
fair question.
It's a fair question, but, you know, if it's just flour and water, it's not eggs. You know, I mean, you've got to think about your vectors of contamination.
Yeah. Could be air, though, right?
Air, but we're sitting here, we're breathing it, we're taking risks.
Yeah.
And that's okay. So, you know, food safety is not going to become an issue with a sourdough starter and flour and water.
Yeah.
You know, and some people even make enriched doughs with eggs, and they sit out for a while. So
yeah,
definitely not with flour and sourdough starter. There's enough protective. I'm hesitant to put too many words out there because they're probably wrong. But
That's always good. It's always good to quit when you're ahead. And actually, we're out of time. So Ron, thank you. You'll be the last one today on the program. Well, Amy Halloran, pretty good job.
On another time flew by. I want the flower day. Can we have like a flower marathon?
Day? Oh my God. Really?
Ray, where we just like, we take little breaks to go out and make pancakes. We'll do like, we could do a fundraising marathon.
A flower
with
that. Day marathon.
You know, like on WMHT or whatever, they used to do these marathons. You show something over and over again.
Yeah. So you want to just do flower?
Or like the dance-a-thon that they used to, you know. And
We'll take that up with the old programming committee. And
we'll get back to you.
The name of the book, once again, is?
The New Bread Basket. That's all you need to know.
But wait, what about the rest? How the new crop of grain growers, plant breeders, millers, maltsters, bakers, brewers, and local food activists are redefining our daily loaf. Where can you find it?
You can find it at Market Block Books. You can find it at the Bookhouse in Stuyvesant Plaza and everywhere else in the world.
Amy Halloran, always great to have you on the program. Support comes from Glenwood, a cider and cheese market with hard craft ciders and farmstead cheese samples from local producers. Lunch by Talbot and Arding, Saturday, June 4th, 1 to 4 at Basilica Hudson, glenwood.org. Charles Padula, DDS, Union Avenue, Schenectady, providing comprehensive, minimally invasive dentistry for children and adults, accepting new patients. PaduladDDS.com. And Viva Fresh Pasta, 30 years and 30 wines by the glass, European cuisine infused with flavors of the world, Northampton, Massachusetts. Grab life by the knife and fork, VivaFreshPasta.com. Thanks again to Amy Halloran. Thanks to Zach Malloy. Thanks to Barb King, who answered the calls. Our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Thanks again for being with us on Vox Pop. Monday at 6 a.m., the fun drive begins. In the meantime, feel free to feed the lockbox at WAMC.org. Have a great weekend.